What's Always Drink the Good Stuff?
It's about food, art, travel, music, culture, lifestyle. It's interesting conversations with interesting people. And yes, sometimes it's even about drinking the good stuff.
Welcome to the podcast, Garine. Well, I'm happy you're here today. Our guest today is Garine Gürcan, a photographer. I'm a big fan of photography. I love pictures. I love landscapes, scenery, all kinds of photography. And when I was introduced to you, I want to have you here talk about your art, your photography, your point of view. And thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
I've been doing photography for a long time. It's definitely, I came to this world to be a photographer. I work as a photographer, and I do have a lot of different passions. Like my true passion, I guess it's like I do a lot of food photography, and I like to do a cookbook or something like that, but I also do a lot of nature photography. And then in my regular work, I shoot a lot high-end jewelry.
Very well. Yeah. What is it about food photography that intrigues you, that captivates you, that's your passion?
I love cooking myself, and I love experimenting with different like recipes and different cultures. So photography to me, it's like I love to take pictures of people and when I'm traveling. So all of that, I think it comes together. So basis of it all is the same. But I do like to get involved in that. And I do like my photography and anything that I do, landscape, jewelry, food, it's all about texture. It's a very textural thing for me. Obviously, I'm a visual person, so everything to me, it's like, and it's with my food photography, even like any kind of setup, still life photography that I do, I see the image in my head before I set it up. So I can see it in my head, and then somehow I have to figure out how to set it up to match that imagination that happens. So I don't know how that works, but it's always been like that.
But specifically about food photography, is it something more basic than just the pictures, the beautiful photography of basic fruits, meats, vegetables, or is it something more basic than that? Is it presentation of a culture? Is it presentation
of
someone's well-being, someone's skills, showcasing them?
It's definitely a cultural thing. For me, it's like a cultural, the history that's involved in it, all the different ingredients that come together, and then the beautiful colors that come together too.
So, nowadays, everybody with an iPhone is a photographer taking pictures of the food they eat so they can post it on social media. How has that impacted your photography, where you're professional? I'm assuming you're using high caliber cameras and lenses with various characteristics. How does that differ from the iPhone camera that everybody uses, including myself, who takes a picture of the hamburger before we eat, or the or the pizza, or the caviar, or the sushi?
Yeah. It is very different. First of all, I have friends who like we go out, and I use my phone too. Like I love my iPhone. I love technology. I love iPhone. I'm not knocking it. But we can be sitting around the same table. I can take a picture of the food, and they can. And they're like, "How come our photos never look like the ones that you take?" So, and I'm like, again, the professional part comes in, whether you like it or not. I mean, a lot of people would say, "Oh, I can take the same picture," but you can't. It's just different. Like the way I see the light is different. The way, you know, all of those come into. And of course, it has affected the business for sure. But at the end of the day, it's like you can fix your own shoe, or you can take the shoe and have it professionally fixed. And which one is going to last longer? It's basically the same thing.
Okay. When you're taking, let's stick with food for now. It's one of my favorite subjects too.
Yeah.
as someone who likes to cook, you just said, and someone who appreciates good quality cook, when you're taking a picture, What is it that you're looking for? Are you looking for balance? Are you looking for structure? Are you looking for composition? Are you looking for, what is it that you're looking for in order to capture that the particular food in that moment?
I guess for me, the end thing is when somebody's looking at that food, they can taste it, they can smell it, and it's like it's in their mouth. That's how the photograph brings all of that out. So when you look at it, it's shown in the best light, the best composition, the best texture, all of those. So you can, when you look at it, it's like almost like it's a two-dimensional photograph, but you feel the three-dimensional, like it's sitting on the table in front of you. That's my approach.
So if it's captured, composed properly,
yes,
the smell, the taste, the aromas,
yes,
the feel, the mouthfeel, all become
all of it.
Become live?
Yes, for sure, for sure.
And is that something that you look for every time? You mentioned earlier a cookbook. Is that essential part of taking pictures in for a cookbook?
I think so, because, like, again, I use cookbooks so for recipes and stuff, and I don't, like, and I collect cookbooks, but I don't like cookbooks who don't have, like, beautiful photographs. Like, if I'm cooking something and it's a recipe, I want to see what it's going to look like. You just give me written on a paper, I'm not going to know. Like, yeah, I'll do my own version of it, but it's not the same. So, yeah, for me, it's very important.
Obviously, cookbooks with good pictures are going to sell a lot more than
just
a bunch of recipes printed
exactly
in black and white.
Yeah, for sure. For
what
sure
are some of your favorite cuisines that you appreciate, that you cook and you look for?
I don't know. There's like so many. Like I don't do sushi, but it's definitely top of the list. Italian pastas and all that. I just came back from Greece, like Greek food, but it's also nice. Like I love all the traditional stuff, but that I love when chefs do like their own version of the new way of like the traditional recipe. So like the twist on it, and the presentation is big thing. And also it's like everything else that goes with it. And that shows like the thought process of the chef. And I think that's so important. So when I do, like years ago, when you did food photography, it was very different. Like photographers set it up. You had a stylist. They shellacked everything and you could have turned it upside down. And nowadays, it's nothing like that. It's everything is very natural. And I work with the chef and they're setting it up. And then like, so it's everything is like you can take that food and eat it. So, and it shows. It shows in the photograph.
And Well, where do you think you're going to find the best cuisine nowadays? You said you were just in Greece.
Yeah.
Is it Greece? Is it Italy? Is it France?
Everywhere in the world. I love to travel. So wherever I am, I would say at that point, that's the best cuisine. But it's hard to pick. It's hard to pick.
Where are some of your favorite destinations, travel destinations?
I was shocked. Some places are someplace like Greece, Italy, you expect the food to be fantastic. Paris, but even like Ireland now, like the food is like amazing. Even like in small little like pubs, you can find like amazing tasting food. And I think that part of that is part of this whole world that we're living that is like a melting pot. There's like people from everywhere. I mean, when I lived in New York for years. And there's any kind of cuisine you want, you can find it. And they're authentic, too. So it's not like... So I think that's part of it, that we're so international and we're so mixed in. So you can find it anywhere.
Because people are traveling everywhere. They're taking
yes.
their culture, their food, their traditions with them.
Yeah.
And creating the local version of
exactly.
that particular dish.
Yes.
That may not have all the necessary ingredients, let's say. But
yes.
they're adjusting to the local available ingredients
yeah.
and herbs and spices and making a local version of it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Where are some of your favorite destinations to travel?
Right now, I mean, I literally came back 2 weeks ago from Greece, and actually Crete, which is like very different when you talk to them. It's like Crete, it's not Greece. And that has to be definitely top of the line. But I love like Italy. Venice is like a big thing. Paris, obviously, always. And then there's like, I've been traveling all my life and there's still so many places that I like to go.
And you also are famous for your landscape photography.
Yes.
Where do you like to go to take some of your landscape pictures? Is it the beaches, the mountains, the
all of
cities, towns, villages?
Yeah. I'm like, I always have a tripod and some kind of a camera in my car when I'm driving. So I literally pull over, jump out of the car. If I see something, I have to take a picture. Like, again, it's like I'm driving around, all of a sudden I see a beautiful nature, the way the sun is coming in or anything like that. I'm like, oh my God, I have to stop and take a picture. But then again, traveling around the world, like Ireland was unbelievable. The scenery there was amazing. Like drove around all around, like most of the south part of Ireland, and it was beautiful. Every time you turn around, the landscape changed so much.
And what is it that captures your attention that you say, okay, I'm going to capture that moment. I'm going to capture that light. I'm going to capture that mountain. I'm going to capture that building. What is it that gets you going?
I tag out a lot of my images as called beauty of nature. Nature is just beautiful, and it doesn't matter. It could be a sunny day. It could be a rainy day. I love rainy days. You can get so many pretty images. It's anything. It's light, and it's just nature. But then also there's like industrial cities, like LA we live in. There's beautiful buildings and how the light bounces off of the glass, and all of that comes into play.
And do you do anything, any editing, any Photoshop after take the pictures?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, at this point, yeah. And I'm a technology person, but I also shoot film. Like this trip to Greece, I decided I didn't even take my digital gear. I took all film with me. And I loved it. It was like a full on, it was like a little bit hyperventilating when I was deciding, because usually when I went to Ireland, I took boat, and let me tell you, it's heavy equipment. And I was dragging that stuff everywhere. And then when I decided Greece, I was like, I'm only taking film. So I loved like the film, but I do love the technology. And I try to keep it. I don't manipulate it to a point of like, sometimes I do collages and those are different. I totally change it. But my landscapes and things like that, again, it's like a visual thing when you're looking. And people have different ideas about that. Like, oh, you're like changing it. And I'm not talking, news photography is totally different and that should be pure. But anything else, it's like if you're cooking, you know, and then you're like, oh, I'm going to add a little bit of the spice or things like that. Photography to me is the same kind of thing. The vision that I want to present to you as the viewer is what I see in my head. So I'm going to make sure that happens.
I'm glad you mentioned film because I love film. Mm-hmm. But it's becoming more and more difficult to find and to develop them afterwards.
That's actually changing now.
Is it?
Yes, it's actually changing.
Well, tell me about it.
Because a lot of like the new generation, the younger generation now, it's called vintage. And they are seeking to shoot with film, which is really exciting. And I don't know everywhere, but I do know like the two coasts for us, New York and LA, we still have all like a lot of professional labs. Like I use it almost weekly. I for my work and then my personal work, I use it. So it's not that hard to find.
Okay. And do you feel that with film, you get more texture?
Definitely. It's different. I can't say it's totally different. It's apples and oranges to me. Some people say, oh, digital has this. No, it's like if I put two images next to each other and show it to you, most of the people in like a general way you look at it, you won't be able to tell the difference. There is a difference. There is a difference because they're two totally different things that you're getting.
Correct.
But each has its own pluses and minuses, I guess.
What speed film were you using?
Everything. This last batch, I actually was experimenting a lot with the Lumo film, which has like different tones. It's kind of similar, not exactly, but kind of similar. It's like infrared, but not really. But it does reverse some into purples, and the sky turns into some oranges and things like that. So I like that. But slower film, it's always like, depends also, like if you want a lot of graininess, then you go like higher ISOs, but I like the lower ones.
And how do you feel about black and white film or black and white pictures?
Oh my God, I love it. I don't want to age myself, but I used to, when I was in photography school, I actually had a darkroom set up in my bathroom. I don't know how much toxins I've inhaled in my life, but oh, it was magic. It's magic, and I still think it's magic. So I do shoot black and white film too.
What is it about black and white that's magic?
I guess each has its thing. The magical part for me was like when I was printing it, because it's magical, because you're standing there and you have this blank piece of paper, you've exposed it, and now you put it in the developer, and as I'm moving it around in the tray, all of a sudden the image comes in, and that's the magic part. But it also, I feel like black and white also has that this like romance behind it. So
it's film noir.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember one time I went to Paris and I took with me 200, 400, 800 speed black and white film only.
Yeah.
And I shot the entire trip in black and white.
Yeah.
Some of the 800s came out really, really grainy.
Yes.
But nevertheless, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Great experience.
Yeah.
And I've captured some really great moments.
Yeah.
Which I got to start looking for them again and start developing them.
Exactly.
And I never developed them. I mean, I developed them, but I still... I never enlarged them to a point where I can display it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's definitely on the things to do, because there's something special about it.
Of course.
And I'll be happy to discover what I shot back then. It was a few years back.
Oh, it's nice to go back. I sometimes like archive all my, like when years ago before digital, I was shooting transparency film, and then some negative, like I have everything archived. And then sometimes like if I'm moving or I'm looking for something and you go back to it, it's so nice to go and look at some of the old stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Brings back great memories.
Yes, for sure.
What kind of training did you have in photography, or school or apprenticeship or whatever?
All of it, yeah. I actually started in New York. The school doesn't exist anymore, but I just got lucky. I was looking for something to do in the summer right out of high school. And there was like, before I was going to start college, and then I found about this program that was a 9-month hands-on, like a photography certificate course. And I didn't know, like my dad always had a camera and he was like a hobbyist. So I've always been around cameras, but I didn't know that you can become a professional photographer. I didn't know it was a thing. So I remember the first day going for orientation, and I was sitting there. And my first photography teacher, which I still remember him, I kept in touch with him years later. He was a photojournalist. He was a Vietnam vet, an amazing photographer. And he started talking, and like, funny enough, it was mostly men in the class, and there was three women. It's a very male-dominated business. Of course, all the guys, they knew all their camera equipment and this and that. And three of us were just sitting there. I just had my dad's camera. I didn't know anything about it. And he wanted us to write down like what model it was, what lens we had, and this and that. I had no idea where to even look for any of that stuff. That's where I started. And but it was like really nice. It was like a 9-month course that was, we shot in studio, we shot film, we developed black and white, we developed color film, we printed. So it was like very intense, like all day, that's all we did. And that changed my life, because then after that, I started working as an assistant photographer. And then from there, I started working, and that's then finally I ended up going back to college. And I actually studied photography in college, and then after my bachelor's, I got my master's degree, and then I also teach photography too. So,
and what is it about the photography that you've dedicated your life to? I mean, what is it about it that you love so much? You see, obviously, I can tell it's your passion.
Yeah,
you're very passionate about it. What is it about it what makes you so passionate?
It's the creativity. It's what you can create. And it's part of it, like I was saying before. If I see something beautiful, I have to stop and take a photo of it. This is way before iPhones and trying to snap. Like, I've done that. I've, like, stopped in the middle of the road, like, anywhere to take photos. So it's the creativity, and it's the beauty of it, and it's just, like, that's how I express myself.
Do you paint also?
I do.
Okay. I mean, I could see that because, you know, yeah. It's just a matter of applying a different medium.
Yes. Yeah, I paint. I love, not as a professional, I just for myself, but I do love painting. Yeah, it is. It's like creative, anything in that sense. And that's how I find, like, cooking too. I feel it's that same kind of creativity. You're creating this canvas for people to enjoy, basically. So
that's exactly right. And so you have the you want to appeal to people's tastes, arts, culture, and all these, whether it's cooking, painting, or photography.
Yes.
You're offering
yes.
to your audience things for them to enjoy that you're producing.
Yes. Yes.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. What kind of cameras do you use?
I've used everything under the sun. I've shot 11x14 with 11x14 like view cameras to 4x5s and then converted to digital. I was lucky enough that I was able to beta test like when everything was changing into digital. So I was there right in the front of like how they were testing the camera. So in the beginning, it was very clunky, like large format digital cameras. These are like studio setups and things like that, 3-pass and everything. Mm-hmm. So I was able to basically play with all these technology, which was fantastic, and give feedback to the manufacturers. And then, of course, all 35. When I was shooting film, I was always using Nikons because they're just lighter and more rugged. And then when digital started becoming more and more advanced, then I switched into Canon because Canon definitely had the technology. And then in the last, I don't know, 5-6 years, I say like Sony is definitely caught up with that too. Yeah, for sure.
Alpha?
Sure. Yeah, all of like again, it's one to me. Like when I'm teaching to my students, I tell them like, you know, you can take a pinhole camera. If you have that eye, you don't need the latest greatest. You can take a pinhole camera and produce a beautiful image. And I do believe so. That's why I feel like yeah, like some people knock somebody they're using iPhone like you're not a real photographer. I don't care how you produce a beautiful image, as long as you have that eye.
What's your favorite camera? I know you like a lot of them, but what's your favorite?
My favorite camera, I have a film Hasselblad that I should use that, and that's definitely my favorite. And then if I had to...
Is that a medium frame or...?
Medium, yeah, medium frame, and it's beautiful. It's fully manual. There's nothing automatic about it. And then if I had to put it, if you're trying to find out what to get me for Christmas, I would love a Leica. I've never owned a Leica camera. That would be so.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind.
Okay, thank you.
And
again, the film one, not the digital.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Yes. what is it about the Hasselblad that you love so much?
I love the format. I love the square format of it. And again, it's like it's like textural thing. It's like the image that you get from it. It's yummy. It's like food.
Yes. And obviously, it produced some phenomenal pictures come out of it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And who are some of your... Do you have any heroes? Do you have any people you look up to?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my first one, anybody ever asked me that, my first one is always Richard Avedon.
Okay.
That was my, and I got to meet him years ago. Yeah. And he was an amazingly nice person, which sometimes it doesn't happen when you meet your heroes, and sometimes they're not as nice, but he was. And his photography was like very, like he had a lot of different things. Like he had his fashion, then he had all his portraits and stuff, but something about his like simplicity of the way he shot. And then, I mean, there's so many of them, but definitely for me, the top of the line is Richard Avedon.
Do you do any portrait photography? Have you done any?
I don't do portrait. I do a lot of faces. Because when I'm traveling, I do shoot a lot of people, but not necessarily portrait. I've done portrait, but it's not the most interesting. But I do love like different type of like faces, young, old, textures, colors from all over the world. So that I do a lot.
I'm sure you know who Annie Leibovitz is.
Yes, of course.
And she's done many, many celebrity pictures where she creates these spectacular sets of people in different locations, places,
yes.
Doing different things. Is that something that appeals to you?
Not really. creating sets, because I actually worked for years for a home furnishing studio. So I have built sets and created sets, and like one image, I would like work on one image basically for a week, and that's fast. And then creating, painting, doing all these things and creating the room. And then photographing with hot lights, not strobes and everything. And I did that for a long time. So not interested in that
anymore.
No.
What's your
favorite? But I learned a lot from it. And that I actually, that's what it's missing nowadays with digital and how people do it. Because I learned to shoot with hot lights. And the other thing was that film is expensive. It's still expensive, and it was always expensive. And Polaroids were very expensive. So we didn't have like a budget to shoot like 10 Polaroids to make sure that the image was right. And the way where I was working, the way it was, like you shot one 8x10 chrome, and that went to the client for approval. So that first chrome had to be perfectly exposed. So I would look at this full set, this huge room set, and adjust the lights and make sure everything was balanced. And that shot, when it went to the lab and got processed and came back, that was perfect enough to go to the client. And that teaches you how to see light differences.
That teaches you also discipline.
Yes.
It teaches you how to compose pictures.
Exactly. There's no waste.
Nothing's unnecessary in or out.
Exactly.
Very
no
tightly.
No retouching, none of that. So
right.
Now I love retouching because like I can get away with a lot more. But I learned the hard way.
I mean, I think that's preparation for what you're doing right now. It trains you.
Of course.
It helps you look for, be specific, focused on what you're looking for, what you want to do, what you want to see, what you want to capture.
Yes, for sure.
And that's fantastic. What kind of lens do you use?
It depends. Depends. Anything from macro to the longest lens. So it depends what you're shooting and what it calls for.
But you have a particular lens that you like? Did you go to?
No, I'm always changing. And it depends. Like it depends if I can bring everything with me or if I have to pick one. Like this last trip when I was shooting all film, I actually used my 50mm lens, which I hadn't used in a long time, and it was just nice because it was small, you know, it was like light, so it was like I could get, and it was perfect. So it just depends.
Is that adjustable or is it just a fix?
No, fix. Yeah.
How about any wide angle lenses?
Yeah, wide angle. It depends. I'm not like I like macro lenses because I do like to get into textures and stuff, but yeah, it all depends. Like I have them all, so it all depends on what I'm shooting.
If you want to recommend someone to get a like adjustable lens from a certain wide angle to, let's say, 50, mm-hmm. what would be a good range to recommend?
I mean, it depends. If you want to really distort things and everything, you can go into a fisheye to a 50. But most of them are, but those are expensive. If you go into a fisheye, it becomes right. very expensive. So it's like 35 to 75. That gives you like
that's a
nice
good,
range.
It's a good frame too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, very nice. All right. Yeah. How do you become good at photography?
It has two parts, honestly. One is the technical part. Anybody can learn it, but you have to have the eye. So it's like any kind, like if you have that artistic eye, then you can learn the other part of it. I can teach you the other part of it, but if you don't have the eye, it's very hard to. And because I teach and I've taught like high school kids who are taking the classes to as a college course and then college level. And it's nice to see that because in that young age and like it's like the first time they're dipping their toes into it and it's nice. And it's very clear. Like you can see who has it and really? Who doesn't. Yeah. Yeah.
But if someone doesn't have it, as you say it, can they learn it over time through experiences, through coaching, through proper training?
It's possible, but you have to have that instinct. That eye is like very hard to like teach. There's no formula to it. You know, it's something that comes from within you.
If you're assuming you do have it, but you still have to practice, you still have to train, you still have to improve over time, right?
Yes.
You just because you think you have it, assuming you have it,
yeah.
that's not enough.
No.
Because you're not the same photographer you were 10 years
not.
Ago, right?
No, absolutely not. No. No, I'm because always, like every day I'm in it. Like I eat and breathe it. So for me, and that's why it's like, I want to know what's the new camera. What, and I go back to my film and like I like constantly I'm in the middle of it. Yeah.
Aren't you also always trying to improve your technique, your vision, your composition, everything.
Everything, yeah, everything. As you're doing it, and you're constantly changing. The same, when you grow, then you grow different ways, right. and that's part of it, too.
When you compare a picture you took 10 years ago to the one you took in Greece,
God, yes.
there's a big difference, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely.
From just the point of view of how you look at things.
Yes.
What you're looking for.
Oh, yeah.
When you're trying to capture something.
Absolutely.
Whatever that is at that moment.
Yes.
You're looking at a whole different eye, 10 more years of experience.
Exactly. For sure. For sure. It changes, yeah.
And it's evolving for the better.
Hopefully.
Yes. Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, exactly.
I hope so.
Have you done any exhibitions or shows?
Yes, I have.
And besides the obvious reason showcasing your product, what do you get out of it?
You hope that people see it. That's part of it. And the hope is that you grow as an artist. So it's a very tough business. Being an artist is not easy. You're constantly promoting yourself. By nature, I'm an introvert, so it doesn't come easily to me. So I like to exhibit, but then like stand back. But it's hard to find like the right person to represent you. You're mostly the person who's representing yourself. But I do like to exhibit because that's how the word gets out. That's how your art, like, you know, I can just take all these pictures and put them in a box and nobody's going to see it. What's the point of that?
Right.
I still get enjoyment from it. I mean, there's a lot of pictures that I take that I don't share with the world, but I do like to share it.
You know, I've heard this from many actors who, during the premiere of their movies, they would go to the back of the theater and just watch the audience's reaction to the movie.
Yes.
Is that the kind of reaction you're looking for when people come and look at you?
It is nice. Yeah, it is nice to like stand there. And most of the time people, they don't know who you are. And it's nice to see like the trip that I was in Greece, actually, I was part of one of my images was part of an international group show that they do in Crete. And I was there. And so they had like I went in for the opening night and there were people already there And the image was this image that I took on Route 66. So somebody, it was like people from all over the world there. They were about 400 different photographers' wow. work that was put in, and they get about 2,500 entries, and they pick about 400, and one was mine.
Fantastic.
So I walked in there, and somebody, this photographer I just met, and he was Italian, but he was living in Greece, and he was like, oh, which one is yours? And I said, oh, it's over there, Route 66. All of a sudden, this whole group, oh my God, we love Route 66. We were talking about Route 66. So it's like, I didn't realize in Europe, by the way, Route 66 is like a big thing, and everybody knew it, and it was like so exciting, and they wanted me to stand next to the image and take a picture, and so it's fun when you get that kind of reaction.
Among professional photographers such as you, are it more men or women?
Definitely men.
It's more men.
Yeah. When I was working in home furnishing, the first studio that I worked in, I walked into the studio, and the owner of the studio was very excited. I was the first female that he had hired, and he was very excited. By the way, he was like, oh, can I call you Karen? And I was like, you can call me Karen, but I won't answer because my name is not Karen. So that's how it started. And then I go into the studio area, and there were only men there. It was a bathroom, and you walked in, and there were no doors, basically. And I was like, I'm going to need a bathroom that I can use. So that's how, it was and it still is. I mean, there's a lot of female photographers, obviously, but I mean, going back to the history too, it's like you have Margaret Bourke White hanging on Chrysler Building, and like we've been around for some reason, but it's still very male dominated.
And which you already answered my next question. It's a little bit more challenging to be accepted, to be admitted, to be accepted among not only your peers, but the general public or the consuming public or businesses or industry.
Yeah, I've felt it. I mean, I felt it throughout the years. And it's definitely better now, but I still feel,
okay. Have you done any news photography?
Yes, I have. And that was actually my dream. When I was in school, my whole goal was, and that's part of the whole thing, I wanted to be a photojournalist. I wanted to shoot for New York Times, and that was my dream because, of course, my first instructor was a photojournalist, and that was the dream. And nobody would even look at my portfolio in the news business. Yeah.
Is it because you were a woman or because you were not known or you're not?
Oh, no, because I was a woman.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And I've done some on the side, I've done some freelance stuff, but it was in those days, like I would shoot like 10, 12 rolls of film for like a demonstration or something. And then they would use one image as a half pager, and it wouldn't even cover my film cost, but I've done it because I wanted to do it.
Being from New York, did you ever meet or do you know who Harry Kunduchyan was?
No.
Harry Kunduchyan was this very famous AP photographer.
Oh, okay.
He covered the Middle East for AP, the wars, the peace talks, everything. And I had a chance to meet him in Los Angeles. He was doing an exhibition in Pasadena before he passed away. This was like maybe 10 years ago. And he had these very, very famous pictures of Arafat and all these other Middle East characters that were going on back then. And I asked him, how do you feel about digital cameras? He goes, don't get me started. I'm not interested. He was really old school, black and white film cameraman.
Of course.
He was very, very, very high up within AP. And unfortunately, he passed away now. But he had some phenomenal, iconic pictures he had taken of terrorism, of peace talks, wars in Lebanon, all these places. So it's someone, I told me you may have heard of him.
I haven't, no.
Who has influenced you most in your work?
In my work? I would say my first instructor was the one who changed the way changed the path of my life, basically. Because I had no idea where I was going at that point. And he was very, very influential.
And since then, anybody else you who's work you're in, but anybody else that has influenced you or guided you, guided your career?
I don't know necessarily guided my career, but I do like follow. I try to like look at a lot of photographers' work and kind of, you know, be part of the industry. So,
Are there a lot of art photo exhibits that go on, let's say in Los Angeles, that people don't know about unless you're in that or area that you're interested in?
I think so. I think it's harder. Like New York was a lot easier because like there's a lot of times, like, again, some of this is when I was living there pre-COVID and all that, but they would have like open studio nights and like Soho, you can just walk around and see. And then Miami does a lot of that kind of stuff. LA is a little bit harder because it's like so spread out. And then like I hear about like a gallery opening and I like, you know, you go there and it's like, sometimes it's like the middle of nowhere and then there's this like cute little gallery. So it's a little bit harder. But I think with the social media and everything, it's a lot easier.
How easy or difficult it is to put on an exhibit?
It's very hard.
Is it?
Yeah. If you want to have like I've been part of like group shows, like I mentioned, things like that. Those are like you just send in and it's a jury set up and they have to pick your images. If you want to be represented by a gallery, extremely difficult. They have these things called their portfolio reviews, which I have done some. And you go to these portfolio reviews and there are people from galleries and agencies and things like that. And then they look for new talent, but you can be working for years. It's very hard. Like galleries are very hard to get into. And I've tried and I'm still trying. So
how easy or difficult it is to make a living as a photographer?
Do you have to ask? Put the knife and turn it.
I want to know.
It's very hard. It's very hard. It's not an easy business to be in. It's very hard to be just like a full-time. I've been lucky in a way because since I've started working, I've been a full-time photographer. One way or another, I've made it work. But it's not easy. It's definitely not easy. And in a way, it's gotten harder because it used to be like there were ad agencies. They had huge budgets and they would do all these like huge shoots and things like that. And now those have gotten, and then the AI comes into it and people are cutting costs and they don't have budgets like that. So it's definitely harder.
I will come to AI, but before I get there, you know how given technology, given internet, a lot of things have become easier to do. Let's say if you're a writer and you cannot find a publisher, you self-publish.
Yes.
Same thing with musicians, artists like you, painters, photographers. And given where social media is right now, mm-hmm. How easy or difficult it is to stand out, given that there are so many people who are trying to do similar things. What's going to take someone who's very talented, such as someone like you, to gain that popularity, to gain that momentum, to gain that awareness among the masses?
It's very hard. There's so much. People are overloaded with information, with visual, and it's very hard. And it's one of those things you never know. You never know what's going to stand out. You never know what's going to be that one thing that it's going to catch somebody's eye. And it's a very subjective business too. Like today you can look at something and you love it. And then tomorrow you might be in a bad mood and you look at it and you hate it. So when my image pops in front of you, I don't know if that day you're going to like it or not. So it's very hard.
How easy or difficult it is, given where social media is for an artist like you to stand out among the crowd. What is it that you need to do? Do you know some people who've made it through, stood out, and captured the imagination of the public?
Absolutely. I think it has like both sides to it. Like years ago, it was harder. Like just myself, like if I was trying to promote to to get my work in front of people, I would have to do postcards and create promotional pieces and put it in the mail and then drag my portfolio around and show it to people. And now that whole thing, there's still people might want to see your portfolio and things like that, but it's so much easier to just put it on social media. And then, like, I post every single day because then it's like you never know who's going to, somebody's going to see it. And yeah, you hear things like that, that happens. People find photographers or artists or, you know, people make movies and things like that. All of a sudden they found them on social media. So it does happen, but it's not, it doesn't even, but it doesn't happen that often either. So, you know, it's like a give and take.
But there are large agencies that buy pictures from artists, correct? So they can sell them, turn around and sell them as a reference library, like Getty, people like that?
Yeah, those are, they don't, like, they pay, like, tiny. Like, I have some of my images, like, my extra images are with, like, stock. They used to be stock. Like, there used to be a lot of stock agencies, and that was when it was filmed. And then Getty basically bought all of them, and they're like, you get pennies. It's like, yeah.
But do you also get residual, so to speak, if you sell every time you get some more afterwards?
But very little, yeah. I see. Because they basically, like, took the market away, similar to what Amazon is doing. Sorry.
Interesting.
I mean to knock.
Let's talk about AI for a moment. What do you think AI is doing to photography? Or what can it do to photography?
It's like everything else, it has a good point and bad point to it if you take it too far. And I mean, it's like I've seen that there's like magazine covers created by AI. And sometimes, yeah, it's fun and it's interesting and it's a different way of looking. But if you're using AI as a, if you have a magazine that you're running and you want to cut all your photographers and all of a sudden start doing AI, then no, that's not a great way. The same with like copywriters, and there's a lot of people who are making money. This is their business, so it will cut it. But if it's combination of making something, using that to create it better, like I use a lot of AI in my retouchings, you know, like if it's going to help me clean up my background or do something like that, then it's the combination part. So it's like a very, it's like a, you're walking a tightrope, basically.
That's exactly. I heard the other day someone saying that AI is not going to take the job away. Rather, the person who knows how to use AI is going to take your job away.
Yes.
So it's a combination of human skill along with the assistance of AI.
Absolutely.
That's going to enhance, let's say, or do the work what photographers used to do for whatever reason.
Yes. Yes, for sure.
And it's going to be, it's only the beginning, by the way.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's just a matter of the seeing. So it's good to be on top of technology. It's good to be on top of things. So
for
you can
sure.
capitalize on what's coming down the technology.
Always, yeah.
So use it to your benefit and to improve one's situation, skills, abilities, and showcase their products.
Absolutely.
Let's see. Are there places that you like to visit still that you have not visited yet? That, like a bucket list type of places where you want to pick pictures over there?
Oh, absolutely.
Like where?
I can put a map on the wall and anywhere that I haven't been. Very few places I would say that I would say no to. Everything else is like open, yeah, for sure. Okay. I love like exploring new places. I love traveling. I love seeing new places. I love experiencing new landscape, all of that. So, yeah.
If someone, a young person comes to you and says, a high school student comes to you and says, I want to be a photographer, what would you tell them?
Run. Don't do it. I would say, do you have rich parents? Then you can do it.
Assuming they do.
Again, if it's your passion, I would say go for it. Because it's the saying goes that if you're doing what you love, then, you know. But it's tough. I mean, in different times in my life, I've tried to like switch gears and do something else. And I always say my famous saying is, next life, I'm going to come in as a hedge fund manager. I don't know what they do, but that's what I'm going to be. Because it's tough. It's not easy. It's not an easy thing. But if you have the passion, I mean, I was literally born, like I've tried. I've tried to switch. I came into this world to be a photographer, and that's it.
Okay. Assuming they have rich parents.
Yes.
And assuming they have the passion.
Yes.
What should they be doing to build this, to build the skills, the experiences, and grow within photography?
I say definitely the knowledge, like going and taking classes. Like if you don't want to get a degree, there are like so many options, but definitely that. But on top of that, the other thing is to if they can, work with a photographer, be an assistant. You know, and that was one of the first things that my first instructor told me, like, you are going to be an assistant. And assistant is basically, especially those days, there was no like politically correct, but you're just like a slave and you do everything. But you watch and you learn. And that's a big thing.
I would think that as a photographer, watching and seeing how it's being done.
Yes.
Is a tremendous opportunity. Absolutely. And asset for you to learn, to absorb, so you can learn and make it your own.
Absolutely, yeah. But definitely, I think you have to have some basis of like the knowledge of it and how, and especially nowadays too, it's like, that's why I was saying, one of the things that it's the component that it's missing in the younger photographers coming up is like, if you started with digital and you really didn't use any kind of lights or like studio setup or things like that, you're missing. There's like a missing thing there. Like you can't see the light the same. And not to say like you can't be successful. You can always be. But I think that's important to have that basis of it and then take it to where you want to take it.
Given your photography skills and experiences, have you done any film as opposed to movies, as opposed to
like still? A video? Yeah, I've done some like short stuff, but nothing like, again, it's like a totally different beast. So it's like,
that doesn't appeal to you.
It does appeal to me, but it also needs a lot more time investment that I can put into it. So especially in the beginning when DSLR started giving you the option of doing right. videos, like a lot of photographers jumped into it. And then where I was and what I was doing at that point, it wasn't like really for me to do it. So I kind of like missed it and I didn't get too involved in it. But I have done some, and it does appeal to me because again, it's creative. But I've never had enough time to like put too much effort.
Do you feel that whereas photography is an individuals, whereas film is more of a group?
Yes, for sure.
You have to be with others to do various parts of the process.
Yeah, and there's a lot more people that need to come into it. You have to have the sound, you have to have sound engineers, all this kind of stuff. Like as a photographer, it's easier, you know, whatever I can think in my head, I can go and create it. Yeah.
Thank you, Garine, for coming in today. I enjoyed meeting you, talking with you, and learned a lot from you.
Thank you very much.
And that's it for today. And remember, always drink the good stuff. Cheers, everybody.